Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this, my friends, is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Hepson.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
We are here to talk about Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago, or just last week, or cool interviews we want to talk about. We are going to get to a lot of it. The big tidal wave of D23 news, we hope, fingers crossed, might be coming. So let's enjoy this season of Andor and other quieter things. Before we get to all that, I want to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have a Four Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us, which is based off of a real book I've been reading for the last few days. Oh, it's a lot of fun there. But we are going to catch up, find out where life and Star Wars collided and or where it didn't. I might not have as many adventures as I thought. Joseph, how was your time spent as a Star Wars fan and human in the last few days?
Well, I'll try to get it through it quickly because I'm very curious to listen to you wrestle through your non-adventures.
Yeah.
It is weird, though. I didn't have as many Star Wars adventures or necessarily life adventures this week. And sometimes you're like, hey, I feel like I've had a really busy week inside my own head and soul, yeah. But not as much. direct activity. I did have some fun stuff. I mentioned last week for my birthday, my wife Sarah very kindly got me the Obi-Wan poster off of Etsy. I think it was one of the ones that they gave out at Star Wars Celebration. It is that image of Obi-Wan, and then Vader is kind of sitting, you know, on his soul on that cliff. It's just such a great poster. It really captures everything I love about Obi-Wan and Vader and their relationship in the show. So I put that in a frame, and I'm very excited to put that up. And then the other adventure I've been having is reading The Princess and the Scoundrel. Spoiler for the book we're going to recommend. Sorry, everyone. You can just stop listening to the podcast now for that spoiler. But the way I've been getting through the books is just setting aside a day and reading most of the book in a day. Because I get tired at bed, I get distracted at bed, then I have to go back and I just like, I want to disappear into a world. So I had, I think Thursday, it was just like Princess and the Scoundrel Day. And it's like, okay, I need to take a break and actually like stretch and eat food. And it's like, I really want to watch something, but I don't want to go out of the world of Star Wars. And it's like, what should I watch? And I remembered that I hadn't watched the Lego Star Wars Summer Vacation. And it's only 42 minutes or 47 or something like that. So I watched it and I had totally forgot that that is also centered around the Halcyon ship, the same as the book.
Right.
And that some of the same locations are mentioned and referenced. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those great moments of Star Wars synergy where it felt like the Force is saying, it was good that you waited to watch Summer Vacation, because this was the exact day and time to watch it while you're reading this book. So that was a nice bit of a Star Wars synergy.
There you go. Synchronicity. I love that. I watched that. I like that little vacation one. It's fun.
It's really nice. It's really fun. I really liked it. The tones of the different, the three seasonal Lego specials really match the season. I liked that the whole message of that one is just like, you should try to live in the moment and relax a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Jennifer, you will love it. It's such just great, you know, having fun with Star Wars. And there's a ton of interesting Java stuff.
Oh, then I got to watch it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Jen, you didn't watch it. So what else did you do?
Yeah, and I'm so mad. I left it downstairs. It's like a show and tell, a Star Wars show and tell. I was at my mom's house cleaning out my old room, and I came across a program from 2001, USC, I think it was a first look, you know, film school festival. It was hosted by Marsha Lucas. It was a program that I had, and her name was I'm so mad it's downstairs. I wanted to share it and tell you guys and describe it. But it's like, it says, hosted by Marsha Lucas. There's a foreword by her talking about the importance of cinema and the arts. It was funded by her. And it's quite incredible. And I went to this film festival. And I remember how impressed I was by the caliber of talent at USC. I mean, there's a really good film school. There's just no doubt about it. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I had gone to some other film festivals. They were not as good, not as successful. Yeah. But yeah, and she also, I believe, she has her own post-production, wing there that she donated money to build or whatever. So she's quite a big presence at USC. And that made me excited to see that.
Yeah, because she's so talked about as the sort of, you know, the forgotten, you know, part of Star Wars. And obviously she has got a little bit more attention, been featured in books and interviews and all that. There's a recent documentary that I watched the first episode of, I believe from the team that made The Toys That Made Us. And that was, they were really touting like a new interview with Marsha Lucas. So she's getting a little bit more recognition, but in general, still kind of talked about as this hidden thing. So it's amazing to think if you go to USC and like, hidden, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's so interesting, right? Like she was really, I mean, she wasn't, you know, touting all the things that she was doing. She was just doing it because she loves it and she believes in it and believes the importance of the arts and of, you know, giving people access to the best of the best production facilities and things like that.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool.
That's great. And for more on Marsha Lucas, go dig deep into the Force Center archives for, I think it was a Jedi beat about Marsha Lucas by Jennifer Landa. Check
that's
that
right.
out. Check that out. You have to keep scrolling, though. Best on Apple. I think on Apple you can still get all the episodes easily. Great stuff. Yeah, for me, boring. But it was a Princess and Scoundrel weekend. It was a catch up on currently in the Afra comics, catching up on those. So it wasn't like Star Wars wasn't there. But, you know, it's the end of the month. You know, you want to save some money. So what do you do? The best way to do that, just never leave the house.
But the internet's right there, Ken.
Oh,
right,
it's there. So hard. I had to like block Amazon off my devices. Just make sure you don't go there and get idle spending. So yeah, but it was relaxing, you know. And so there you go. Kind of ties in with the Lego summer vacation vibe. You know, enjoy what you got. Been a lot of fun. So. That's it. No Star Wars. I mean, again, Star Wars everywhere. Just one of those quiet weekends and weeks. I'll take it. We'll all take it. And more things are coming. A lot of shows to talk about, a lot of shows to review, which is fun work. Let's get to the news. Like I said, breaking news from a long time ago or the last few days. John Boyega has been in the news, whether it be some articles. We got this interview we're going to discuss here. Actor and activist John Boyega was on John Fugelsang's Sirius XM show. Fugelsang, a big fixture, mid-90s VH1 times. comic, still going strong host. This interview and the other articles just spurned many, many, reactionary articles and video titles, including this one here, Let's Not Lie. But most notably was this idea that Boyega is done with Star Wars. And I got to admit, I'll say up top before we can get to this, I just was like, I'm not going to click on these stories. I just don't, you know, he could do what he wants. Da, da, da. I'm glad I did at least watch this clip on the Sirius XM show, because that wasn't necessarily the vibe. It wasn't the vibe of Boyega. It wasn't the vibe of the interview overall. The bulk of the clip going around focused on the changes Disney seemed to make following the experiences of Boyega as a black actor facing horrendous racist backlash for playing the character of Finn. Of course, we as fans remember going back to 2014, just him first appearing. That's where a lot of this started. And he expresses a lack of bitterness of being the first to have to bring it up to the studio, the first to kind of go through this with them, as actors like Moses Ingram are more protected by them now. I love that part of the interview. I love hearing him talk about it and talk about it where he is now. So, Joseph, Jennifer, thoughts on where Boyega is now on this and how we got here? And we can discuss how studios can continue to improve in this area as well. Jen, what'd you think about this part of the interview?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because it took me back to that time. And I think that studios, media companies, all of us really online have learned a lot since The Force Awakens. Because prior to The Force Awakens, the rule in the industry and kind of just in general was, you ignore it, right? You don't address it. Those are just quote unquote trolls. Don't comment back on those types of comments and they'll go away. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't going away. And it was really awful to see this part of the fandom, which I mean, it's like you knew that it existed, but just having it be so vocal and loud and dominating, it was really upsetting. And I cannot imagine being John Boyega and experiencing that, how awful that would be, and how he probably felt, just like left to fend for himself, basically. And what happened was that he was the first person that really like called it out, like, you know, this is happening. This is not okay. You guys need to back me up. What's happening? And it was almost like the kid, you know, saying that the emperor has no clothes. And suddenly the industry was like, oh, actually, it's bad business if we ignore it. It's bad. It becomes a bigger problem if you just bury your head in the sand and you don't address it. And I give all the props to Disney, Lucasfilm for really changing, for turning that ship around. And now you have Ewan McGregor, who's like coming on in his car and doing videos saying, we won't tolerate this. This is not okay what you're doing to Moses Ingram. And I think it really helps. And I think that John Boyega felt protected. It helps other actors know, like, they're not going to stand for it, because who wants to be a part of a production where you're going to get like attacked and then you feel like nobody's backing you up? And so, John Boyega, he, like he said, he was kind of like leading, leading the charge for the future and for the next group of actors so that they wouldn't have to go through, hopefully, what he went through. He has such a great attitude about it. And just watching that video, like, he has such a peace about it that I was really impressed, because that would be awful to go through what he went through.
I think that was my favorite thing to take from this interview. Once I watched it, I was glad I did. And nothing against him or about him. We're going to talk about him and his future Star Wars, but I just had that, like, I don't still want to, you know, I saw a lot of the clickbait titles going around, and I took the time to watch it and listen to him. And I thought, yeah, good for him where he's at, and at least what he's saying, and how it feels as though there's some, not just peace, but also some purpose for not understanding perhaps what he was in the position to do, and finding, the joy in that, as he kind of said with the story of Moses looking over the hill and the promise. You know, like, you lead him here, but you can't go in, all that kind of stuff for Abraham, what he said. I can't remember, but I love that there. Joseph, your thoughts on where Boyega is and where we were.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're both saying some great things. I think this round of articles with John Boyega was another one that really reminded me of, we really need to try to read the whole article or watch the video clip, you know, because context is everything. There are some other things floating around with other actors and shows I like where people were really blowing up at a headline this weekend that seemed pretty devoid of the actual context. I always kind of think of this joke of, like, the actual interview is like, hey, you know, an actor is sitting down just really trying to be accessible and fun because it's their job. And, like, the interviewer says, like, hey, what's your favorite sandwich? And, like, the actor says, I don't know, I enjoy a ham sandwich from time to time. And then the headline is, you know, actor breaks silence on desperate 24/7 need for ham. All other sandwiches crap. You know, like, how much the headlines lean into trying to take the actual quote and make it as sort of combative as possible, right? So I'm really agreeing with what you're both saying about, you know, I'm good on doing any more Star Wars, could be said with a lot of salt, right?
Right, right.
And he's clearly coming at this from a place of peace, not only in sort of the context of his attitude, but also the context of what he's saying, right? About meeting with lots of other actors who've gone through similar things and deciding how he wants to approach this and how he wants to look toward the future. It is that context is also important. So that's one thing I think about a lot, is just the context. And then in terms of what he's actually saying, yeah, I so agree with everything that you said, Jennifer. I think that it's definitely been a thing in entertainment, but I think in a ton of other places in American culture that, you know, entertainment is not siloed at all. But there has been the general don't bring up the awkward conversation at the dinner table vibe,
right?
About anything that's going to be like, yeah, just let, you know, what are you going to do? Just let the trolls be trolls is so accurate. But I think it's important not to isolate entertainment from everything else that's going on, right? I mean, a part of this is Boyega's speech in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd. You know, part of this is, I think, a reckoning with the fact that, you know, recent world events and political events of the last several years since The Force Awakens came out have kind of ripped open a lot more hate crime, a lot more hate rhetoric, right? Yeah. So I think this is kind of in tune with the way the world is going to say, saying nothing is sometimes saying it's okay, you know?
Right.
It's just the way way it is. What are you going to do about it? And I think that everything Boyega has to say about the being happy that things are changing in terms of how the studios handle this with the Moses Ingram example is great.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying too, and just how time is, you know, it seems like just yesterday Force Awakens came out, but man, a lot of changes and a lot of better understandings and deeper understandings of the things going on. And I joke with friends, a lot of the way my life has changed in the last few years comes from being inside the Star Wars discussion world, where there was a point where you're just kind of like, it's a disagreement over opinion of the movies. And you dig deeper and you're like, oh, we're not talking about the movies, are we? We're talking about something deeper inside. And that, again, going to, you know, the controversy in 2014, Boyega's head pops up. He's a black man in a stormtrooper costume. And it was like pushback against that. And just kind of, that almost seemed like you know, going back to time of, oh, that's just silly. What are you talking about? Of course he can. And you're not, and you just kind of, it was easy to be like you all both said, trolls, and easy for studio to just not pay attention to it. Now, flash forward, we know that was, indicative of a lot of deeper and bigger problems to come, or that were very present and starting to emerge like lava through cracks in the floor. And then also to see the studios now, you know, understand this, they watch this. I still think there's too much of any engagement is engagement as it's measured, but that's not from the studio's point of view. Just seeing like what Amazon is having to deal with Rings of Power is a great example. The forthcoming show where they have a lot of money invested in monitoring channels that are not just talking bad, but actually talking hate on a social issue side. And it's a complicated issue and everything like that. But I like kind of what John was saying of like, you know, we're always going to improve. We're always going to find, but we don't run away from it. He kept mentioning it's not, I'm not just the elephant in the corner of the room. It's right. Something that people are aware of. And that's where I'll at least take the victory that we've moved forward as we continue to grow. And just knowing where it's all coming from and knowing that a lot of those channels with red eyes on Kathleen Kennedy aren't trolls. They're you know, generally alt-right based hate groups. And that's just what they are. And it's complicated to deal with them, I understand, and tough. But we at least, you begin by knowing that's where it comes from, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well said.
But then we did get to some Star Wars stuff, specific Star Wars stuff, because of course, why not? And it's a fair question. John Fugelsang asked Boyega, hey, you know, return to Star Wars. What do you think? Yay or nay? Paraphrasing a lot there. Boyega said, hey, he's good on returning to the role of Finn for now, citing all the great actors he's gone to work with, like you had mentioned, Joseph, that have come out of just not just the higher profile role he had, but just the situation, some of the stuff he went through and spoke out about. It's connected him with a lot of wonderful people and opportunities. That's me kind of read into it. But it's this desire to remain versatile as an actor, which is not surprising and not abnormal based off other actors in big blockbuster films. I'm just thinking about Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al. Talk about
personal. Right.
He said that he felt Finn as a character was at a good, quote, confirmation point, and we can all enjoy him in the games and animation. Adding 7 to 9 was good for me. So clearly a lot behind the answer. You know, we all don't know what went on daily at the job, so to speak. And there's definitely some him probably maybe not wanting to work with Disney or not wanting to work with a big studio. We don't know all that, but I really like his words and his answer. So, again, a lot being made of this, but what are our thoughts on his current feelings of being done with the role, or even as he joked at the end, coming back at 79 to say Chewie were home and being okay with that for a lot of money. Jennifer, your thoughts on Finn?
I was so glad that I watched the clip, because if I had just seen the headline, you know, I think that I would have had a different take from it. But just watching him say it, it's just very matter of fact. And like, basically, I want to do other things. Like, I think that people forget, like, when he, before The Force Awakens, he was this hot young actor who had a lot of buzz from the film Attack the Block. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder what his career would have been like if he hadn't gotten Star Wars. I think he would have been, you know, just as successful, but maybe in a different way. And I think he's the type of actor, when he said Jamie Foxx, I went, oh my gosh, that's totally where his career can go. Having that versatility, doing comedy, doing action, doing heavy drama, doing gritty drama, right? He's the type of actor that I could see winning an Academy Award at some point in his career. And I think that, you know, he's been acting since he was a child. He's got theater roots. So I think he just wants to enjoy himself, challenge himself, and really like continue in his craft. I don't think it's anything like, I don't like Disney, I don't like this character of Finn. It's just, I want to do new things. And I think that that's great. I want to see him do new things. I love him as Finn, but I want him I want to see him in all different types of roles because he's such a great actor. So yeah, I was like, okay, good. Yeah. Go do other things and then come back whenever you want to. You know, he'll know when it's right for him. Look at Ewan McGregor. Look at how long it took to come back. There's always a chance.
Yeah, and Ewan's great because remember he's talking about, you know, when I even first took the role, I was kind of this it indie actor and do a Star Wars film for, I don't know about that. And yeah, I think that to go the attack the block roots, it's a great spot. Yeah, it was fun to watch because I really like, he's so well-spoken. He had a lot of just peace and joy just kind of emanating from him while not backing down for what he believes clearly or what he went through. But he wasn't slamming his fist on the floor, on the table, going, stamping the feet on the floor, going, no, sequel trilogy sucked. So, you know, confirming all of the things he thought. And it's, yeah, again, to what you're saying up top, Joseph, context is king and also important. And, you know, headlines are going to headline, but it was a good thing. And I agree with Jennifer on his moves going forward. Your thoughts, though?
Yeah, no, I also agree with Jennifer very much. I think that because our discourse can be so combative, I think we can kind of have an attitude of like, are you for like really real grounded indie movies where artists can do whatever they want? Are you for these big blockbusters? Yeah. And it's like, they're different kinds of movie making, right? Like sometimes you want to go to a fancy restaurant and sometimes you want fast food because they're two different things and you want different things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's totally understandable for actors to be like, it's a bunch of benefits to being in a huge blockbuster. There are a bunch of benefits for being world renowned for the rest of my life for being this beloved character from Star Wars. But there's also these benefits over here. And it just seems to me that he's just in this place of like, I did that. And now I want to do this other thing. I want to do all of these different independent films. I've talked with other actors who've done both and I want to have these experiences. And that's what I'm, you know, pursuing right now. Mm-hmm. And in a way for me, as you know, a fan who thinks he's a great actor and would love to see him come back to Finn someday, I hope he has a great career, plays varied roles and finds incredible creative fulfillment. So in 5 years, 10 years, 80 years, whatever is the right amount of years for him, that he comes to a place where he wants to be Finn again, because then I will enjoy his performance as Finn more. And like, yeah, there's a part of me, if he was like, if he did this interview, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of here to promote Breaking, but also I'm here to campaign for a Finn Disney Plus show. As a fan, I'd be happy because that if that's what he wants, the actor, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I don't want actors to be unhappy and feel stuck in roles. I don't think that's the best way to make compelling art. And therefore, as a fan, then it's not going to work out great for me either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I don't know. I don't know what his pocketbook is actually at these days. But if I had been cast in 7, 8, 9, you wouldn't see me again.
You'd disappear, right?
Taking whatever toy rights I have. Again, I don't know the numbers. I never want to assume everyone's a billionaire because they held a lightsaber. You know, and like, yeah. So I would. I'm happy he just wants to continue exploring his art. And I agree with you, Joseph. If he comes back to it, everyone goes to the Harrison example. But, you know, it's not just about a big truckload of money showing up to Harrison's door. It's him as an artist going, yeah, okay, this is right. This works. I want to do it not just with this character, but several other of Harrison's big characters, the Blade Runner franchise, if you can call it a franchise. I think you can. You know, Indy, again, we're going to see, like, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. And I think I would love to have Finn, Daisy, even Adam Driver, old, wonderfully intense, cranky Adam Driver and Oscar Isaac. When they want to do it, if they want to do it and it works, let's do it. Let's do it. Right there.
Yeah. Can I share one other thought on this whole thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think just trying to put yourself in the shoes of someone like John Boyega of the challenge right now. Like, obviously, this is a Star Wars podcast, and I love Star Wars, and I'm not criticizing Star Wars or criticizing going to blockbuster movies. Often, I don't make it to some of the smaller movies I want to. Sometimes I do, but, you know, I really love Marvel and Star Wars, so I prioritize them. So, you know, I'm not excluding myself from what I'm about to say, but he's doing this to promote a smaller film that he really believes in that he wants to do called Breaking, right? Yeah. And the it looked like the like from my research that Breaking got, you know, a mixed to good reviews, but all of them absolutely praised Boyega's performance. And the film did extremely not good at the box office, like just over 1 million. The film was beaten at the box office by the limited re-release of Rogue One. right?
Oh my gosh.
So it isn't just that, do I want to play Finn again? It's, I want to play other things. We're in this time where other films are, it's a little difficult to have them be viable for all mm-hmm. these different reasons that we all know and can discuss. But then also just imagine going into this interview and knowing I am here specifically to try to get more people to come to this small indie movie that I believe in. And I know I'm going to be asked about Star Wars, and I have to be prepared to have not only what I say, but my attitude in the way I say it. And if I don't just shut down a Star Wars conversation, it will be the thing that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. He did this interview to promote Breaking. And, you know, it's fine that we're talking about Star Wars because we're a Star Wars podcast. But the internet only talked about Star Wars, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So I just have a lot of empathy for actors who have the wonderful opportunity to be in Star Wars and have that holding the lightsaber money that you're talking about, Ken.
Yeah.
But also just like, you know, I think we can all understand that from our own lives, right? Of like, if somebody knows you for one thing and then you try to talk to them about something else and they only want to make it about the way this sliver of your life that they know you from.
Yeah.
And that's an actor like John Boyega's life, you know?
Yeah. And I think people don't understand how, when you're an actor, even if you're like in this huge blockbuster movie, your career could end. Like he's trying to plan for having longevity in his career, which means taking on different types of roles. Now he has the chance to be able to do this. I think I listened to George Clooney on a podcast a while back, and he's like, that feeling never goes away of, when is my next job? Is my next movie going to bomb and that will prevent me from being able to work again? Like, that fear, even when you're at the top of the top, is always kind of like in the background. And so I just think, like, yeah, Star Wars might be here right now, but Star Wars may not be here for him for forever. And he's trying to not only do things that he's passionate about, but also have a good career that allows him to continue acting. And so, yeah, I think it's really having, being an artist, it's a tough life. Take it from me, kids.
Yeah.
Go to business school. Oops, I just dropped my phone. Go to business school.
Yeah, I guess for me, a part of that is, you know, I'm not trying to shame anybody because I didn't run out and see Breaking. I didn't either. Yeah. I just want to be aware of the environment we're in, and it makes me have more empathy for Boyega's perspective and more admiration for the way he talked about Star Wars, knowing even when I'm not here to talk about Star Wars, I'm going to be asked and it's going to be the main thing. So how do I want to handle it? And he handled it to me with a mixture of honesty and peace, right?
And grace. Yeah.
Grace. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because I've seen plenty of interviews where the actor is like, I'm not here to discuss that. I don't want to talk about it. I've told, you know how I feel. And they just shut it down. He was just like, he was so like nice about it and just, you know, very, very honest and off the cuff. And then immediately all the headlines start running. But I was impressed.
Now, one of the things too is, again, there's so much that he's gone through, so much that he discussed, and he's holding the line on those beliefs here. And I think you're right, Joseph. You know, hey, this, I think of John Lennon, Yoko and I are doing this for peace. We know you're going to follow our every move. We're going to do it for some, we're going to talk about something more important as long as the circus is around us. This is one of my favorite things. I mention it a lot is going back to the trailer of Force Awakens, and Boyega released that video of him and his buddies watching the trailer, and he's excited. And he's leaping over the couch, and he had already by that point gone through a lot. And we know that as a human, he's going to go through a lot more. And to have him emerge on the other side of this and have also a lot going on in the world that he was involved in and felt the pain of and spoke out about it. But have him also be like, no, I still watch Mandalorian, Obi-Wan. as we've seen in other interviews, he has thoughts of what he would have wanted to see or maybe would have done in some of the Star Wars movies, which is fair because that's all what fans have as well. So I like that. That's a small thing for me, but just to be like, oh, cool. He's still around. This didn't burn him at all, you know, at least on that level. There's a lot to it, of course. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's still a fan, and he's still like, oh, they moved up the release time of Obi-Wan? All right.
Love it. Yeah. And yeah. And you're so right. That's to get pigeonholed in one thing. It's always something. It's always something. So there you go. So I'm glad we took a swing through that. It was nice to see. It was a good little interview clip. If you haven't, and we understand if you're like us, where sometimes you just the discourse or this and that, or you just like, I saw that the headlines and I just don't want to go through it and watch this and see what he might have to say. I'm glad I did, and glad we covered it, because you get a more true picture of where he is at and what he went through and what he's still standing for. So check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to get back into Andor season. It's the season of Andor. But before we do that, we have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what would it be today?
You know... It is The Adventures of it's The Princess and the Scoundrel. Sorry for the spoiler earlier by Beth Revis. Here's another spoiler. I love this book. I can't wait to discuss it. So excited for that, Ken.
Excited for that. Can't wait to get to it. Been about ready to finish up for myself. And there's so many wonderful things in this book. So download your free audiobook today. Get ready for our review by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Be a free audiobook. All right, quick break here. On the other side, more news on Force.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Force Center. It's our look at Star Wars news, breaking news from a long time ago. And last week, shortly after one of our news episodes was released, we had, as always, a little bit of news. An Andor clip was released, a straight up releasing of a little scene. And we're going to take a dive into it. It's a minute and 15 second long clip. Features Diego Luna's Cassian Andor and Stellan Skarsgård's Luthen Rail. The scene finds Luthen paying Andor 1,000 credits in the coolest way imaginable. Just slides him out for an item he stole from the Empire. But Luthen wants more information on how Cassian pulled it off. This sets up Cassian delivering many of the lines you've already heard in the trailer about how you sneak in just like you belong, because the Empire can't comprehend someone so low in their eyes being among them. A short and powerful scene. And man, I got to say, I'm reaching this point. I want to maybe start here with you, Joseph and Jennifer, on I'm reaching a little bit of the, just give me the damn show. love all the Gilroy stuff, but I don't want to know the last shot of the series. I don't all these things that he's just putting out there. And again, it's the press machine. What are you going to do? You either choose to engage or not. I've been choosing to disengage. So this clip popped up and I had to watch it. Because I was like, "Whoa! I've seen the trailers, but I want to see a solid, uninterrupted, unedited, what the show will feel like clip." I was really intrigued by that. And that's why I loved it. And I kept watching it. I think I watched it like five times in the first hour. Just like, "Oh, I want to watch that again. I want to watch that again." So that's where I started on this. Jennifer, what was your journey with just the news coverage and then this clip?
I was shocked. I happened to be on YouTube looking up something. I don't remember, something related to Jabba, I think. And I saw that the Star Wars channel, they had that clip up and it was like uploaded 13 minutes ago. And I thought, what? This is actually from the show? Okay, let me see it. I was intrigued. First of all, great, great acting. I too watched it, I think like three or four times in a row, because I was like, what is going on? I need to know everything about this. The writing, so great. The pacing, it just pulled me in. And I don't mean this as a slight to Star Wars. It felt very sophisticated. It felt like an HBO drama or cinematic. And I just was like, I got so excited. And like you said, I was just like, please just release the show at this point, because I need to know, what are they talking about? What did he steal? The box, I don't know. Anyway, so I loved it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And Joseph, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to talk about the style and all these, the presentation, and Gilroy and team have been pretty vocal about how this is maybe different. Not necessarily saying, pointing at the Mandalorian saying we're different than that. That comes up with the volume and all that stuff. But it's just a lot of things about it that are different. I was so curious about it and delivered. But your thoughts on, as Jennifer said so well, the sophistication of Andor.
No, I really, really enjoyed it. And I am really with you, Ken. It's not that bad of a problem to have, to be tired of being hyped. But I do kind of feel like, you know, if you're at a concert and it's about to start and somebody comes out and is like, "Are you ready to rock?" And you're like, "Yeah, it's really fun." Two or three times, but at like the 20th time, somebody says, "Are you ready to rock?" And the entire audience is like, "We have been ready to rock for 35 minutes. Please, for the love of bleep, just start." You know, that's the hype level I'm at. Like, "You ready to pray Andor?" "Yes, please. Just give me Andor." So it was nice to actually get a little bit. And I love how raw the content of the clip is, but also the clip itself, right? It just cuts into the middle of the scene and then just cuts, right?
Yeah.
It's not even a fade, right? It really is just like, it's like Andor stole this clip from an Imperial archive. So that gives it this great energy too. Just, the fact that it isn't kind of nuanced, it doesn't fade in. Yeah, I mean, I love the tone of it. It totally makes sense. It is actors, great actors with just like bubbling, emotions, hidden motivations, hidden depths, right, that are bubbling up to the surface. And I think this is going to be the whole conversation of Andor. I think if everything is as great as this scene is, sophisticated and nuanced, this is going to be the conversation, which, I think I just got to let go of the comparisons, right? Because hey, like, you could compare that this scene to Obi-Wan and Han in the cantina talking about, you know, the exchange of money for the Falcon, right? And you could compare them and say, which is better? And like, for me, it's not about which is better. It's what is the intent? This show's intent is to make us feel the pain of people who are in the struggle every day, right? You know? So I want to enjoy it for what it is, for one of the flavors in the Star Wars buffet.
You just know this is going to be one of the talking points, and here we are talking about it. But I think you have to
judge.
It's just, you know, especially I'm someone who's been sometimes very open about, I don't know, some stuff with the volume. This scene could have been on the volume. I couldn't tell you, right? You know what I mean? Like, it just, the volume is sometimes so good that it tricks me. And this is practical, and it feels the same in terms of just how the background. It's about the dialogue. It's about the rhythm. It's about just a different style of presenting this, which is not unlike Rogue One. I think you got, you know, they're just pulling it from that, and that works. And there's not a lot of, you either like the flavor of Rogue One, like a lot of people do, or maybe you like the flavor of Force Awakens, which has more of the classic fantasy vibe and sophisticated, grounded. These are the words. That's a good word, Jen. We got to put that one into the zeitgeist versus gritty and real, which are words that I think have just been, you know, just drummed into the ground when it comes into discourse about a lot of things, even though they do apply and we still use them. So I'm intrigued. And you're right, Joseph. Just sometimes I have to remind myself to just disengage from either or this binary decision, much like the one specific way Star Wars can be presented, because the comics are different. The books or novels have more realistic dialogue and have different styles. Novel, not Wendig, Claudia Gray, Charles. So they all have different vibes. Just look at High Republic. You can tell the different styles of the authors, even though they're all in the same era and the same, going in the same direction. It's just part of the fun. This is Gilroy and his team's take on it. This is these actors' take on it. And Kenobi had a bit different vibe than Mandalorian and Boba Fett. And it's just, I got to learn to celebrate the differences, which is something Star Wars does teach, right? Differences combined make a stronger kind of entity. So I'm going to look at it that way because I love this clip because of it. Everything about it, Jen, you said the rhythms, the cadence, the delivery. Luthen Rail's voice is now one of my favorite Star Wars.
Ander, let me ask you both, because this is one of my reactions when Luthen starts and he's like, he got a bling on the front of giving a box. And it's really, really funny. But it was like, I'm watching this show with subtitles, I think, because I love his voice. But a couple of the words like Luthen said, what now?
Yep. I was like not even 10 seconds in and I went, OK, hold on. Where are my subtitles? Where are my closed captions? Because I mean, I watch everything with it anyways, but I really needed it. Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if I could set it to Luthen only subtitles.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Love everything about it. What about what he's saying here? I love because we got a lot of these quotes in the trailer, especially the Cassian Andor lines about sneaking in there. I just love the complete collection of lines here, especially the spit in their food. This was
wow,
great stuff. Jen, your thoughts on Andor and food spitting?
Oh, Diego Luna. I just loved it. That's why it got me so excited is seeing these great actors just chewing up the scenery and these great lines and really visual and just imagining. And I can already understand Cassian's point of view and his just disdain and disgust, you know, for these Imperials. It just was great. And then it also made me think, oh, are they going to show a little flashback? Are they going to show us the scene? Because I really want to see it. Not necessarily the spitting in the food, you know, but I'm sure in the moment when he's actually sneaking in that there is some delight. I want to see that on his face of just like, you people just are so stupid that I can sneak in right under your nose. Like, I want to see that. But it was wonderful to hear him talk about it as well. So,
we kind of spit those words out. We'll talk about it.
And just,
Joseph made me think of the Imperials with their coffee mugs.
Oh, yeah. Like, what are they actually drinking in that calf?
Yeah, right.
What did Cassian put in there? I think this clip both told me a lot about the show and confirmed a lot that it looked like from the trailers, sounded like, that I hope for. I really love the sense that Luthen and Andor both have something that the other needs, right? you get the sense that that Luthen understands the big picture, that whatever Cassian stole from him was just a job for Cassian, right?
Right.
Just money for Cassian. But Luthen understands the value of it. Luthen understands the value of Andor's skill to be able to walk mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. And that all really contributes to me of what we were kind of guessing from the most recent trailer, that Luthen is probably upper class, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is probably looking at this situation from a big picture perspective of, you know, how dangerous is the Empire? What is it going to take them down? Where are they weak? What risks are worth taking? All these big picture things, right? Mm. But then it's so clear from this clip that Andor understands the way the Empire looks at the everyday person, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it so ties to the nature of the rebellion, the idea that the Empire would be like, they don't see me as a threat. They're so confident that nothing could ever touch them. I just stroll right in, right? That goes to the nature of the Empire's ultimate defeat. I thought about the Ewoks, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, so it's really great to see these kind of two perspectives already coming together. The arguably sort of upper class big picture perspective of Luthen in the Andor, like, I live this. I know how they look at me. I'm bubbling with fury because it's real pain, right? Like one of the other big moments for me is that it seemed like Andor was truly blown away by the additional 1,000 credits that Luthen can just throw that around. Mm. But for Andor, it's like that money makes a huge difference to him and his people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love this here. I love what you're saying. I also look at it, not to, you know, dumb it down and make it a joke, but I like that Andor's kind of like giving you the why and Luthen's like, yeah, that's great. I love that podcast. I need to know the how, because the how is right now. And I get why. And it's just to see the dueling approaches and where they are in their lives. And I was really intrigued by that. And Luthen's already one of my favorite Star Wars grumps. Just done 1,000. You got it. I need to know how, like, it was really powerful. And it's, and you're so right, it cuts off to the, you know, just a shoe drop edit of scenes over. Obviously more goes on, but just Luthen being plugged in, knowing what, I know what Bix does. I get it. I get it. This is something more and it's more important. And I just need you to see it. And I need you to tell me. I thought it really was a simple scene that raised the stakes for the series before we get to it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you're talking about like the commentary that Andor is saying, it made me think about how if this was kind of like a fluffy spy thriller, right, like more surface level, you know, and Luthen says, well, how'd you do that? I'd be like, I have my ways, wink. You know what I mean? Like that could be a way that the character, this kind of slick kind of character could get away with.
But I'm here the best he's actually at what I do. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We see that all the time in movies and then, you know, slide down. But yeah, for him, it's more about like, this is the message. This is a commentary about the ordinary people, like you're saying, and the Imperials and that the class and the oppression and all these things that are going on. And Tony Gilroy is addressing it. And that's what's, I think, going to make it interesting and different and, you know, something more than just a action spy thriller.
Yeah. I think I was also just really happy to see, you know, Andor having true deep fury at the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when it was kind of revealed that this is going to be his journey to joining the rebellion, I was like, especially that I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I feel like, well, I want that motivation, that energy, that lean forward of I hate them, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I love seeing that. Okay, well, he's at this place where he understands them. He hates them. He will, you know, he will poke the monster. Mm. But he's also got this sort of like, but what are you ever going to do? They're too big to topple.
Yeah,
you can nip at them and you can swipe. But this is just the way it is. You just get by, you know. Mm. And it makes this really interesting contrast where, like, you know, Han Solo is, he has no love of the Empire, right? But he's got that kind of shoulder shrug apathy. What are you going to do about it? You know,
mm-hmm.
And to see that Andor is in kind of this Han Solo like place, but with loads of righteous fury, it gives him such a propulsion and motivation and then still room to grow and change. If you're like, I hate them, but what are you going to do about it? And then Luthen comes around and says, believe it, you can do something about it and you should.
Mm.
It's a wonderful intersection for the two characters. And going, my final thoughts on this was, you know, what does this clip tell us for the vibe, the mood, and the themes, and you're both explaining it so well, because they could have, you know, there's action coming in this series. So they could have said, all right, let's release a clip of this is them infiltrating, or it's a firefight or something that might be more classic. Hey, it's Star Wars. It's pew, pew, pew. This is two folks talking and just talking about it. But it's important stuff when you break it down. I love what you're saying, Joseph, about where Cassian is at this point. It makes a lot of sense. Gets me hyped up for just more talking. Give me more talking in Star Wars. Talking in garages. So, yeah, I don't know if you have final thoughts on that or anything else there, Jen.
No. I just was, yeah, I just noticed that my door slowly opened and I was like, what is going on? Cassian is entering my room. He's so good. Is that Cassian or my child? I can't wait. Just release it, please.
Release it before the ghost gets Jen.
I just put on a Death Star dress and I just wander into Jennifer's closet and she doesn't even see me. I blend right in.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Oh, that's great. Joseph, you said a lot of wonderful things, but any final thoughts on this clip? And how many more times are you going to watch Luthen just say, Ender.
He's spitting their food. Huh? What kind of food? This spitting their food really is. It pops. It's so real. And I think it's great writing because it's those kind of details that make you feel it, right? The idea that he would be sneaking in on a high stakes mission and stop by to spit in their food. It's so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, sorry, I'm not done talking about it. I love the all you need is, you know, uniform and dirty hands. This idea if you're labor on a lower level, they don't consider you nothing. And just that's part of the disguise in a way. And it's not necessarily always literal, but just that's the idea behind it and the way he kind of spat those words out of his mouth, too. Love that. Love that. All right. Well, we're going to keep going, whether we're haunted or not. We're going to wrap up the news discussion. Before we get out of here, we will take a look at this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And the past is the future. On September 2nd, 2014, the modern era of Star Wars canon began with the release of Jonathan Jackson Miller's Star Wars: A New Dawn. Set about 5 years prior to the events of Star Wars Rebel, the book introduces us to the former Jedi Padawan Kanan Jarrus as he makes his decision to help a small band of resistant fighters, including Hera Syndulla. The main villain is the cybernetically altered technocrat Count Vidian, and we met Captain Ray Sloan. So let's go back in time, prior to Force Center. And how did we feel about the switch to this new era of canon? And did we take in A New Dawn then, as it was intended, this new era of storytelling? What's changed about our thoughts on the book and the new era since then, Jen?
I don't think I ever read A New Dawn, or if I did, I didn't finish it. But I remember seeing it at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, in 2014.
All over, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I was really excited about the new canon, about basically new canon, and that the old canon was being wiped clean. I personally was happy about it because I always found it to be a little confusing and overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And my gauge was always like, okay, well, we know that, you know, they have the George level of canon, and then you have the movies, and then you have and they still kind of have that, but it was even more so. I forget, they used to have it like letters, like C canon, G canon, right? All those. So it felt like, okay, moving forward, this new era is going to be more cohesive. It's going to be more welcoming for people to join Star Wars, to join the community, to kind of like start anew, and kind of for things to tie in with each other, and like characters from the animated series can appear in live action, as we've seen. And that to me was really, really exciting. And I felt like it was more collaborative, because I remember like sometimes the authors would kind of, they just would go do their own thing, really, you know? And now we look at it and all the creators and the writers are kind of talking with each other, and then they're checking in with the lore advisor and the story group when they need to. And it just, I really, really like it. It just all makes it very consistent and consistently Star Wars.
Consistently Star Wars. That's, I think that was a They Might Be Giants song. I love that. Yeah, I love what you're saying. Yeah, and look, and now here we are. I was, this is one of those dates. I saw this on the Star Wars app and was like, wow, we are definitely, you know, October is 10 years of Disney Lucasfilm era. Like the time is crazy. It blows your mind sometimes. Jenna, I love what you're saying. And yeah, but this far along, yes, we have, you know, Filoni is reshooting some of the moments from the books and you're having those discussions, but it's not like the old days. And that's not a swipe at any. If you love some of the Legends and EU stories, continue to love them. They exist. They are there. But, you know, the levels of canon was at one point where I just like, I don't care that. It's too much. And I do think it is cohesive overall still. And it's pretty impossible to keep pulling off time and time again. Even reading Princess and the Scoundrel, it's like it there's some great references of, hey, this is where it is. This is where it is in the timeline. And that comic you read, we are aware of that. It is there and we're moving on. So that's a lot of good stuff. And the book itself, Joseph, we were definitely talking at times on Jedi Alliance. I've said publicly here on Force Center, I need to apologize, and we'll again, to Jonathan Jackson Miller. I said some bad things about this book back in 2014, which, you know, hey, look, not every doesn't mean the book doesn't have some flaws, blah, blah, blah. No, I just said some bad things because I didn't understand what this new era was going to be. And this is about the situation, the bubbling need for resistance, the rebellion, and it was different. And I think I wanted, great, we're getting new books. Where's me Luke Skywalker guy that I like so much? Where's that Princess Leia? Where's Han Solo? I need that. And this was, all right, a cowboy Jedi, and I don't know about this. Vidian is a different and interesting take on Star Wars villainy because it is a little bit more, it's not Sith. It is the system. And I think a lot more of that was present than I was ready for, and I resisted it. I didn't change. I didn't grow. I didn't listen to what the stories were saying. But I did love Captain Rae Sloane, and I loved when she returns in Aftermath. So all that stuff there. There's a lot of great moments with Kanan and Hera. But when I look back now, I look back to that summer where I got a copy. The book I have is the copy I got at Comic-Con. It's like, and it's, I got the little paperback. I think there's some typos in it, which I appreciate because I'm the king of typos. I love all that. I didn't understand what was coming. I'm glad eventually the modern era stuck with what it knew it wanted to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's a great journey, to go on, Ken. Yeah. I think I was similar to Jennifer of like, I definitely read some Legends and there's some stuff I love, like that Han Solo trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to read some other things and I didn't enjoy them as much. And then I had different moments where I really wanted to get back into it. But the main storyline with our known heroes from the original trilogy and their offspring felt daunting. It felt like I'm kind of a completionist. So I was like, okay, where I have to start back at the beginning, right? And at one point, a boss that I was working for wanted to get rid of a bunch of Star Wars books. And like, he's like, hey, you want to get caught up on the Star Wars books? Like, yeah, I do. And literally gave me like a box that was like, you know, 25, 30 pounds of like, here's your 30 pounds of Star Wars to get caught up on. And I wanted to, and I still want to, and I never did. So I was excited for a new time of like, okay, maybe I'll be able to jump on. Yeah. And I think there is a virtue of being able to jump in at different books at different points. And I think there is a virtue to that kind of legend storytelling where like you get to know these characters and then you live with them for a long period of time. And what I really like right now about this new era is I think we have both. I think we can have that experience with High Republic, right? Of like, you'll get the most out of it if you really dive in and you follow all the intricacies of these characters in this era through time. But also with years and years of new canon books, right? Hey, you like Leia? Jump in here. You like Padme? You like pilots, just jump in on Alphabet Squadron. Like there's a lot of places you can just jump in and read a little bit.
Right.
So I really like that balance that's in the new era. For A New Dawn in particular, I still haven't read it. It was, you know, before I was, you know, covering as much because before Force Center, I was just making, you know, appearances on here and there on Jedi Alliance. And also, I think for me, it wasn't a, like, of course, grab it because it's like, it's the new characters. And I don't even know them yet. It came out a month before Rebels, right? I looked it up. Rebels premieres October 3rd, 2014. So it's amazing to have that book change from here is a setup to the new animated show. If you want to be cynical at the time, like, oh, the first new Star Wars book is just an ad for their animated show. You know, that could be the attitude back then. Now, this is the introduction to two beloved and important Star Wars characters. It's amazing how the book can change just by the passage of time, right? Yeah, like the book itself is changed from what it is, from a preview, a setup for that new cartoon I haven't seen yet, to this is when Kanan and Hera met. Like,
yeah,
right.
In terms of sports cards, it's a Kanan and Hera rookie card. It's very, very bad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So I mean, for me, the new era, I'm grateful for Force Center for many things, but one of them was to give me the reason to make time to dive into all these books. Mm-hmm. And I own a copy of this and I really want to read it. I just maybe need a pause in the new Star Wars books so I have time to read some of the older Star Wars books that I haven't read yet, because I haven't read it and I really, really want to.
Let's file a petition with Lucasfilm, Del Rey, Inside Editions, any of a moratorium on new books for 6 months. We all can go reread the ones we missed or want to take it. I want to reread Catalyst and Rebel Rising. Let's just, we can all do that. Just you all stop for a month. At least
I would love Did You Miss It month, like that everybody is just like, let's read the books we missed.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Yeah.
Well said, both of you. Ed, what a crazy time. We are already looking way back on the beginning of this era that seems just like yesterday. I can still remember the 2 a.m. pizza I had at that Comic-Con. 7-Eleven. Oh, my gosh. All right. We are out of here for today. A lot of cool things to discuss next week, we hope, with some news and D23 coming up. It's still Andor season. A lot more on the way. So, hey, we're the Force Center Podcast. And on the Force Center Podcast feed, you can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Thanks to those who hung out with us and watched our live Q&A last Friday night on the YouTube channel. So don't forget to subscribe over there so you can be part of that. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on a lot of different spots. Just search. You'll find us places like Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. New patron supporters filing on in there and getting right into our Discord, where they're enjoying daily conversations with Force Center friends. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kednapsok.com, for information on comedy shows like a local show this week, Flapper's anniversary show for the Yoo-Hoo Room, September 2nd, ticket information, free tickets on my website. I want to also let you all know, remind you that on September 17th, we've got Podathon 2022 from a lot of great Star Wars podcasters and content creators and fans. Big guests lined up. Shelby Young, Seth Green, Charles Soule, Ryan Johnson, a lot of people. Going to be interviewed, I think, Matt Martin as well. We're going to be watching and supporting along. We love what they're doing over there. It's all benefiting Make-A-Wish Foundation. So check that out. Just go to thepodathon.com. Jennifer, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Jennifer Landa, and TikTok, where you can join in on the discussion about what the texture of Jabba's skin feels like. People have a lot of great theories. And I'm like, yeah, oh, a lot of scientific evidence as well. That is at Jennifer Landa 1138 on TikTok.
Oh, that's amazing. That's great. That's great. Joseph, where can they find you?
I'm distracted by Jabba. that video is great, Jen.
Thank you.
Do people have opinions about what it does sound like?
Oh, I need to look. I got some new comments, maybe. Oh no, that's a whole other video. Yeah,
because I lean toward a little bit like rubbery, right? So then I'm thinking like if you like touch Jabba too hard, does it make a little like a dodgeball and gym floor sound, like a little bit of a wet smack? Anyway, if you'd like to hear my thoughts on what different Star Wars characters' flesh sounds like, oh, that sounded horrible.
No.
You're not going to hear any more about that ever again. If you'd like to hear not that, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for future comedy adventures. It looks like I'll be in Portland, Oregon, the weekend of October 7th through the 9th for the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. I have a short film playing there, so I'm excited for that. More details on that soon. Also want to be sure to give a shout out to the organization of Vote Forward. It is a place where you can write letters to other voters, encouraging them to vote and use their power and make a difference. The website is votefwd.org.
Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. All right, that's it. We'll see you this week for Q's. We've got a book review, data bank dive, so many things. Thank you all for listening. This was Force Center. Force Center.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.